Well, yeah, it's our last service for a while, and we're going to miss you. Seriously, we will definitely miss you. Not that much, but we'll definitely miss you. We'll be praying for you and believing that we're away. Because this is God's church. It's not our church. You know, it's really not. It's nobody's church. It's God's church. And we're here temporarily. God's eternal. And we believe that God is going to keep doing some amazing things in each one of your lives. And we'll be praying for that, for some breakthroughs for some of you, some miracles in all sorts of areas of your lives. And pray for us as well as we go. May we have a good rest and some fun. But may we have some God moments along the way, some divine appointments. You know, that's our longing as we go away, yeah, that we get rested and ready for the future. But we have some of those God encounters. I didn't mention it this morning, but what I'm sort of studying and thinking through while I'm away is how do you take a church from 400 or 500 through to 1,000? Because that's where I believe our next step is. And so we're going to spend some time as a couple and thinking through. We've seen a few leaders around America. That sounds cool, doesn't it? That's what we're doing. And ask them the question, ask what it looks like for us as an organization, for us particularly as a couple, and how all the things should work so that we can go into our future healthily, so that God can work through us. It's all about God, definitely, but we want to do whatever we need to do along the way to make sure that we can keep growing and keep caring for everybody that God puts in our midst. Because we're in such a good mood, I can ask you the question, do you want to know what we're doing there or not? Or shall I just carry on into the message? Are you interested? Are you nosy or not? That's a silly question, isn't it? Everybody's nosy, aren't they? So, we leave our house on Tuesday night, and we're traveling down to London, and we're going to the Hillsong Conference. We have a network lunch on the Wednesday that starts, I think, at 11:30. That's why we have to go a bit sooner. We're then flying from Heathrow. If anybody's got a calendar, they can shout the dates out as we go along. That will be handy because I've not written the dates down. So we leave on next Saturday, and we're going to fly to JFK in New York. And so next Sunday, what day is that? Sunday, it's 27th. We're going to be, well, I don't know. Sunday, 27th. Good. We're going to be in New York, Hillsong New York Church, and we're going to be doing this, the Empire State Building, some other stuff there. And then we leave New York on the Tuesday. Yeah, I could have worked that one out. My math is that good. And we're going to catch a train to Baltimore, which is just outside Washington, and we're going to go meet Bishop David Roller and his wife Yvonne. And those two are heroes. They've offered us their apartment in Baltimore for the entire summer. It's the only way we could do it. I mean, as you can imagine, trying to hire hotels or rooms for a whole 6 weeks, well, 5 weeks we're over there for, would be impossible. And they said, look, you can have our house as a base for the entire time. So we're going to go there. We're going to settle in. They're going to be there for about 24 hours, I think, or slightly less. And they're flying back to Europe for a family holiday and leaving us in charge of their home, which is really nice. So we're going to stay there for just over 10 days. And on the following Friday, 10th, 8th, 8th, we're going to leave there and drive to Chicago. And we have some friends in Chicago, and we're going to take over their basement. Seemingly their kids were put in the basement, which I think is a great idea. But all the kids have left home now, so we're going to take over their basement for 10 days. So we're going to go to Willow Creek for a couple of weekends. Michelle's going to something called the GLS, the Global Leadership Summit. It's one of the most amazing summits. If you ever get a chance to go. It's not cheap. It's very expensive, but it's incredible. The speakers are, they just pick them from the world, basically, and go. They have an auditorium that holds 7,500. This is a Christian conference in a church. When the tickets go on sale, they sell out within minutes. It's that good. It's just amazing. So Michelle and Jonathan are going. I went a couple of years ago, so I have to look after the children. She's really annoying. What? Where to? Where them? I think we're going to the zoo. I'm going to have so much fun. It's going to be great. And our friend Chris said, how about the other day we go to a car museum? I emailed back, how about the cinema or something like that? Anyway, So we're there for 10 days. So we're going to arrive on the Saturday, Friday or Saturday. Yeah, we're going to leave on the Friday, arrive there on Saturday, I think. 9th. We're going to leave the following Monday, week on Monday. Rob, you're making this up. 19th. We're then going to go to Indianapolis. So we're driving now. Indianapolis is where our Framethys head office is, surprisingly enough, in the middle of nowhere, basically. And so we're gonna pop in. It's sort of almost on the way home. So we've been in touch with the staff there. We're going to see some of the admin staff. There might be a few bishops knocking around, so we'll say hi to those and that sort of thing. We're actually staying in the bishop's condo, aren't we? Yeah, sounds very cool. And so we're staying there for a couple of nights. Actually, Bishop Roy was really funny because I said, "Oh, we could go and see the FM headquarters." He said, "Yeah, it's really exciting." I said, "Great." He said, "You need to give yourself at least half an hour." He said, "At least half an hour." He says, "That good." So it's not built our expectations up too high for sure. So anyway, I'm sure you'll be fine. So we're doing that, and then we're driving back to Baltimore, which will be on the Wednesday, the 20th. And then the bishop comes back, and hopefully on that Thursday, the bishop and his wife is going to take us to the White House, and we're going to have a trip around the White House. You can only actually get in now, I didn't realize this, if one of the senators says it's okay for you to do it. So the bishop and his wife had to actually fill in a form for the senator to approve for us to get in. So we don't know yet, but hopefully we're going to get in. Either way, we're going to hang out with Bishop Roller, which we're really looking forward to, before he flies off to South America on the Friday, because he's the bishop and that's what he does. And then we're going to leave Baltimore on the Monday, 25th, back to New York. So we're going to go back up by train. We've got 3 nights in New York, and then we're going to fly out on Thursday night, 28th, land in Heathrow on the 29th. Then we're going to stay down in London for 3 days, go to Hillsong, London on the Sunday, and be back home on September the 1st, Monday, September the 1st. There you go. And, is that good? Should be kind of fun. Just in case you're wondering, both my computer accounts and my phone will be given over to Mel, my part-time PA, and she'll be looking after all that sort of stuff. So if you need to contact, if there's anything desperate, contact Dave or Mel, and they will sort it out. Pastoral stuff, Pastor James will be looking after particularly. He's over there. That's Dave. He's over there. I'm sure Dave Nicol would love to do it. If there's a really big emergency, they will have our American phone number and they can contact us. So if there is something we need to know about or hear about, then that's the way it'll happen. So is that okay? Good. So please pray for us. It's going to be really hard. And then I'm never going to get through my message, am I at all? Before I briefly go through my message, I just wanted to highlight the Heart for the House that's coming up in September. It'll be the third week of September, because the final week we're going to launch Blackpool. So it's going to be very, very exciting. Now, for those of you who've been here a while, you know what the Heart for the House is for. The Heart for the House is to enable us to take big steps forward, like chunky steps forward. So all of us give our tithes and offerings to keep the place going. So that funds all the normal activities that we're doing, which actually is taking the church forward. But it's taking the church forward in regular steps. Does that make sense? And very early on in our sort of life as church, we said we don't just want to take small steps, though we do want to do that. We want to take big steps as well. And the Heart for the House offering enables us to take some big, chunky steps all at once by super resourcing something, basically. And that would be the plan on the third Sunday of September. We'll come, and over and above our tithes and offerings, we'll come and we'll have an offering into this fund, the Heart for the House fund. And I want to let you know what we're going to put into, so you can get excited about it and get saving up or whatever you need to do right now. A big chunk of that, the money that we give this year, is going to go to Blackpool and the Blackpool guys who are here, so that we can resource what they're doing. There's no point starting a service and then not providing the stuff they need to make it go forward, because we'll hamstring them from the word go. Now, we can't fully resource them. Well, we might be able to fully resource them, I suppose. I shouldn't say that. But, you need a lot of money to fully resource them. But we want to give them a really good start. And so a good chunk of that money is going to go to Blackpool and the work there. We also want to resource the youth and children's work. And over the last, I don't know, probably 3 or 4 years, God's really begun to move in the youth and children's work. And if I'm honest, I said it this morning, we've probably kept the youth and children's work on a shoestring. They've been doing it for very, very little. And the treasurer's nodding his head. They're very cheap departments, those are. But we want to resource them. We want to say, hey, the youth work have about 40 young people. And that's amazing. The kids work have about 60 kids on their books. That's, wow. I was thinking, I sat there thinking that. We have more kids in the kids work than people who used to come on Sundays when we had our last sabbatical 5 years ago. Isn't that an amazing thought? Our congregation was about 660-ish in those days 5 years ago. And we want to give them some resource and say, hey, go and take that forward. Go and take some big steps forward. And let's believe in our kids and our young people. We want to resource our conference and hot weekends next year. Believe it or not, we don't make any money out of them. We make a loss out of them. We want to continue to resource those. Because I truly believe as a church, as individually get resourced by these guys coming in, and they build us up and they enable us as a unit, as a whole, to do substantially more than if we didn't. And so we want to keep resourcing that, as well as some other things. I wanted to give you some figures for you. We sat and prayed a little and talked about it on Monday at leadership meeting. We would like to raise in the region of £28,000. So we like to put targets. So that's our faith target. It's substantially more than we got last year, but then we had a massive building fund gift day as well. But it is still a sizable step of faith, and we want to do that more. We'll do more. If we don't quite give as much, then we will apportion it. Is that okay? Yeah. So good. I want to tell you about that. Well, I'm going to pray, actually. Father, I want to thank you so much for all that you've done. We thank you for Jesus. Father, may we never forget his life, his death, his resurrection, all that means for us. God, I thank you that you love us so much. And Father, I pray tonight that you come and you touch and move and change every single heart, every single mind, every single soul in this place. That people's spirits would be changed. If there is any here, Father, don't know you, we pray that tonight may be the day where eternity changes in their heart. But I pray for each one of us that we may not be the same as we leave this place. Not because we've met each other, but we've met the living and risen Lord Jesus Christ himself. Everybody said? Amen. One of the questions I often get asked from all ages is this. Have you ever heard God's voice directly? Have you ever heard, hello, Ed, this is God type thing? Has that ever happened to you? And it's only happened once. Now, some of you will say, oh, well, I've never heard God's voice yet. Well, be patient. When God's ready, he'll talk to you. Others will go like, oh, I'm always hearing God's voice. And that's cool. And God treats each person individually. And so don't worry. God speaks to you just as he wants to speak to you. So you don't worry about it. It took me a long time to get there, but that's where I am. It was many, many years ago. I was studying at uni, doing a degree in agriculture. And I guess I was a bit homesick and a bit fiancé sick, I suppose. Oh, come on. That's rubbish. That's bad. And I'd walked up the stairs in our rickety house, and I was walking up here, went up the half landing, then on the last thing. Then here was the bathroom. Now, the bathroom had a door frame, which was screwed together. I'd screwed it together because I'd broken it, but that's another story. She'll have to come and talk to me afterwards. So I walked past this. And I remember hearing, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And it was so loud. I turned around. I went, who said that? Now, I didn't think there was anybody else in the house, but you know what students are like. You never can quite tell, can you? So it was like, who said that? And so I went downstairs, checked the living room, checked my mate's bedroom, checked the kitchen, nice big long kitchen, dirty as ever. Back upstairs, checked my mate's Ian room. If anybody's going to do it, it's going to be my mate Ian. And then I checked the other room, which must have been Nick's room. No, Phil's room, Ian's room, then Nick's room. And no, there's nobody there. And I went back into my bedroom, past the broken door frame. And knew, well, I knew as soon as it happened, if I'm really honest, that God had wanted to tell me a promise. A promise that's never left me. So powerful. I must have been 20. And for 20 few years, that promise has remained in my heart and my soul that God will never leave me or forsake me. I think it's one of the most important and precious promises that any of us can ever hear and any of us can ever have to register inside our heart and inside our soul, that the King of the universe, the God of everything, will always, always be with us. In every situation, in the high moments and the super low moments, God will always be with me. And I can still hear the voice as clearly today, in my head obviously, as I could when that first was said. You see, the promises of God are amazing. And the Bible is littered with promises that are for us to take and take inside our heart and live in them. Literally, promises that we can walk in the middle of and they can protect us and create the atmosphere that we live in and walk in as Christians, as human beings, each one of us. Now, promises are a word from somebody to somebody else promising to do something or to say something or to deliver something, aren't they? And a promise is only as secure as the person or the organization that's given the promise. We have a wind turbine on our farm. And it got serviced 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago. And I knew the service in it, and the phone registered a missed call from the engineer. And I always know it's not good news if John has rung my mobile, because it means he wants to talk about something. He either wants to talk about something broken or something expensive or both. And so I rang him back and said, "Hi, John." He said, "Ed, I've got some bad news about your turbine." I went, "Okay." He said, "The front cone's broken." I said, "Okay. How's it broken?" He said, "The welding's cracked on your front cone." I said, "Okay." Now, in my head, I thought, "That's easy. Just take the cone off, put a new one on." Yeah? I mean, it's cone. I mean, I said, "Okay, so what sort of damage?" He said, "We'll have to replace the whole unit." Okay. "We'll have to take the whole tower down, take the whole thing off the top, take off the turbine, put a brand new one on, put the blade back on and hike it all the way back on." And I went, "That sounds expensive." He went, "Yeah." I said, "How much is a unit?" He said, $5,000, $6,000, $7,000. "I'd have to price it up for you." I said, "You'll need a crane, and that'd be $400 or $500. And you'll need four men for a whole day." I was thinking, "Oh, flipping heck." So I put a grand down in my head, added it all up. You've added it all up as well, haven't you? He's like, "That's expensive." He said, "Don't worry." I said, "Oh, it's still under guarantee." Excellent. "But," I said, "you do have one small problem." I said, "What's that?" "Well, the parts," he thought, it was a bit complicated between there and now, "the parts are guaranteed by the company who supplied them, i.e. the manufacturers. That's okay. The people that put your turbine up are broke. They went bust. And they guaranteed the labor and the crane hire. And they can't pay anymore because they don't exist." And he said these are my words, "I'd love to do it for free, but I can't." You go, "You wouldn't love to do it for free at all. If you really love to do it for free, you'd do it for free. It'd just be nice." And because the problem was, you see, the promise of the company that built the thing was only valid as long as they existed. Once they disappeared, there was no guarantee left, because the guarantee disappeared when they disappeared. And he says, and similarly with the promises of God, they're only as strong as God is. But God is infinitely strong. You see, so when you pick this thing up, or when you're listening to the Hillsong speakers, you guys that are going down there, and they're talking about what God's promised to put into your life, when you're sitting through messages or listening to downloads on your IP thingy, whatever they call it, or when you're reading books and you read a promise of God, don't quickly rush by. Stop and tell yourself, this is a promise from God Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth.
The God who was there when the foundations of the world were created. The God that weighs the mountains in his hand. The God that can count grains of sand on the seashore. The God who can name all the stars in the entire universe, which, in case you're wondering, are more than the grains of sand on the seashore. That's how many stars there is in the universe. And he can name them all. He's the one that can actually call them out and move them. This is the God who promises you and me these things. The God who can do the impossible. Because he's God and he made the rules so he can change them. Because he's God. And tell yourself that. Because that's the strength of the promise of God. And my final message, my final prayer is that you leave this place and say, the promises of God, they're not for anybody, they're for me. They're for me personally, and I need to begin to live in them. And the Bible is full of guys who lived in the light of God's promises. Noah must have had so much heartache and grief in his life because God said, I'm going to save your family from the oncoming flood. And he went, what flood? In fact, what's rain? I live in a desert. What do you mean? But God said, I promise to save you. Just build an ark. And for decades, he built this ark. I mean, he must have had so much grief until the rain came. And then he'd been living in the light of God's promise all those decades. The rain came. His promise floated up and floated into the distance. But all those that didn't live in the promise. There is Moses. Moses, the man who trusted God. Moses had a magic stick, right? Yeah, a magic stick, cool stick. Become a snake and all sorts of cool stuff. It's a magic stick. It looked like a magic stick. I mean, I know it's the staff of God or whatever you want to call it, but it was a kind of cool magic stick, wasn't he? And he'd done all these miracles in Egypt. And then, in my mind, he faces the ultimate promise test. He's led the people of Israel out. They're trapped against the sea. There is the armies of Egypt who are going to come and slaughter half of them before they cart the rest back in slavery. That's the plan. And God says, I have a great plan, Moses. And what's that, God? I want you to put your rod over the sea and it will part before you. That's my promise to you. And I don't know about you, but you're like, that sounds difficult, tricky, unusual, bizarre. We read these stories and go, yeah, well, it's Moses, you know. He just went to lead Israel and say, it's going to be cool, guys. God says he's going to part the sea. All right, I'm just going to hold the stick over. It's going to be fine. And never realize how silly that must have sounded to everybody else. Because the Israelites weren't particularly a great believing nation, were they? Those of you who know the Israelite nation know how unbelieving and unfaithful they were. And Moses had to go, I'm just going to hold my stick out and the sea's going to part. It's going to be great. I'm going to walk across in dry ground tomorrow. Tomorrow, sea, mushy, yucky. I mean, you guys have been in mushy seas. They're horrible, aren't they? It's like muck up to the tops and you sink and everything, but tomorrow it's going to be fine. But the promise of God, that's all he had. But it was a promise of God. Hold out his stick, his staff, and the seas part. And the Bible talks about walls of water either side as Moses believed in the promises of God. There's Joshua, who conquered nations. There's David, who killed a giant. Do you know the story of David and the giant? I don't think we realize how amazing that story was. David faced Goliath with 5 stones. Goliath had a shield as big as a barn door. Like a huge, big thing. It's like massive. He had a man carrying it for him. He had a shield. And there was David with stones. Now, Goliath could see David swinging the sling round, yeah? He must have thought, there's a stone coming. I mean, he wasn't that stupid, was he? I mean, seriously, he must have thought, there's a stone coming now. Let's put the shield up. That'll stop. Because he would have been easy. You know, he swung out, shield, bang. Yeah, don't try again, mate. It's not very successful. Oh, it's coming in. Bang. And we forget. Goliath was a trained soldier. He knew what was coming. He knew what the solution was. And he wasn't an idiot. He knew if the stone hit him, it would really hurt. Because he'd seen what sling people did before.
And the miracle is that God kept the shield down. So the Goliath got hit in the head and then he got his head chopped off. But David believed that God's promise that he would be successful because he believed in him. We can talk about Daniel in the lion's den, Peter who walked on water, or my all-time favorite, Isaiah. Isaiah's really cool. Isaiah's a prophet, but he did some cool stuff as well. Actually, being a prophet is quite cool. Very cool. But he did this particularly cool thing. So he was prophet when a king called Hezekiah was king. Now, Hezekiah got ill, and he didn't want to die. But God told him he was going to die through the prophet of Isaiah. And then Hezekiah prayed really, really hard and said, God, please don't let me die. And so God sent Isaiah back with a message that he wasn't going to die. And this was a message. Hi, King. God's told me you're not going to die. Well, that's cool. Good message. Just to prove it, you have a choice. Because God has told me that he will either move the shadow back 10 steps or he'll move the shadow forward 10 steps. You pick which one and God will do it for you. I mean, that's an awesome prophet. Imagine if God told you, you've got a message for somebody and this is, I'm gonna sort of either move the sun or change the spinning nature of the earth so that the thing can come true. You go like, seriously? That's going to affect the whole world. Just for one message? I mean, we would, with our scientific brains on, we go, well, the only way that's possible is if God spins it forward faster or backwards faster. Because it is, isn't it? That's right, isn't it? Because the earth is spinning and that's yeah, yeah. And Isaiah confidently says, God's gonna move it backwards 10 or forwards 10, you pick. And Hezekiah says, I pick backwards. Because surely the sun's going to go forwards anyway in due course, but he never goes backwards. And he says, yeah, that's fine. And God, the shadow goes back up the steps, 10 steps. What faith in the promises of God? Why? Because it was a God promise in his life. I tell you these stories for this reason. Each one of these people were ordinary people who were trusting in the promises of God. And this is where I want to finish tonight before we go away. You are ordinary people. I am an ordinary person. But we can still do extraordinary things. And this promise, it's not for extraordinary people. This promise is for ordinary people like me and you. God is saying ordinary people who trust in the promises of God can and will do extraordinary things. And they will become, by definition, extraordinary people, even though they're ordinary. And all of us feel ordinary. You know, we're going on a holiday. I'm doing the washing. It's like, another load of washing. In fact, I wonder how my kids make so much washing. It's ridiculous. And you know, we have to tidy the house. We're doing ordinary things at home. And you feel ordinary, don't you? Perhaps you don't. Perhaps you feel extraordinary. Great stuff. But most of us feel ordinary. And we read these stories going, yeah, but they were extraordinary people. And they're not. They were ordinary people who trust in the promise in the word of God. And they did extraordinary things. And then they became extraordinary people. And we go, well, that's cool. But all of us can be extraordinary people. I just want to give you three things to help you work your way through this pathway of living in the promises of God. Because you see, the promises of God are always found in life, in the midst of adversity and challenge. But they're found in those moments if you seek them beforehand. You get that? If you seek them beforehand, when adversity or challenge comes, then they become real in our lives. But also if we've sought them out and lived in them before they happen. Number one, we all need to realize that God's promises are true whether or not we live in them. They're true because God is truth. And we can say, well, that promise isn't true for me, but actually it is true for you whether you want to believe it or not, because God's promises are always true. In fact, you could say that they are the bedrock of how we can live our Christian lives, because they're always true. The second thing I want to say to you is, if we're going to ever enter into all the promises of God, we need to have an even if spirit inside of us. An even if spirit.
I think for most of us, we sometimes think, you know, I need to be fully faithful or faith-filled before I can accept a promise. You don't. You just need to have an even-if spirit. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, a fiery furnace fame, said this, O King, so we're in Daniel 5, verse 18, if you're taking notes, Daniel 5, 18. O King, the Most High God gave your father Nebuchadnezzar sovereignty and greatness and glory and splendor. No, I'm in the wrong place. Daniel 3, verse 16. Daniel 3, 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. They'd been asked to bow down before a big gold statue of the king, and they didn't want to. And he got quite cross. Very cross. Very, very cross. Oh, Nebuchadnezzar, we don't need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it. That's a promise. God can save us. And he will rescue us from your hand, O king. But even if he does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. We need to have an even if. We need to have that. That's how people take and live in promises. Very few of us will ever get to the place where we were 100% absolutely sure about everything. But all of us can live a place in even if. Even if. God, I've got this promise. Even if it doesn't come through, I'm still in the promise. I'm still in the promise. God, you know I've got a bit of doubt, but even if, I'm still in. And you see, church, I get excited when I see people who are in the even if category. They're not saying, oh, I've got it all sorted and I totally believe and I'm so sure I can, you know, you could, you know. But I believe there's a bit of even ifness going, a bit of, but I'm in. I'll figure the rest out. Because you see, these guys, these even if guys, when the hardship came, and they've been living in the promise, then suddenly the promise became spectacularly true for them. And it's the same for you and for me. God does not expect you to have a perfect faith, but he does expect you to trust in him even in the even ifs of our life. And this excites me because I want to be an extraordinary person for Jesus. And I know what my faith is like. It's not perfect, but God is not looking for a perfect faith. He's looking for somebody who'll trust in God even in the even ifs of life. He really, really is. And the third thing as you sort of go through this, is that promises can only be received with open hands. If somebody comes to you with a present and your hands are full of stuff, what do you have to do? You got to put it down and then you receive the gift, don't you? And it's the same as we receive the promises from God. Too many of us want to keep our hands full of our stuff and then pile it. Yeah, just pile it on top, God. It'd be fine. I'll get around to opening in a bit. Just pile it on top. Yeah, it's a good promise. Pile it on top. Yeah, yeah. And God's saying, you can't do that. You just can't do that. You have to put this stuff down. And then he can open the gift. The stories that I showed, Noah had to put down his pride and self-worth. Because he had to build an ark in the middle of a desert. He had to put down who he was to live in the promise. You think of Daniel who got thrown to the lion's den. He had to literally sacrifice his entire life and who he was to operate in the promises of God. Because he was originally a slave, if you remember. He was captured and he put down all his life and said, even if I'm in this place, I'm going to still trust in God. I can still do all the things. And then God did the amazing promises. We talk about money. Malachi 3 verse 10. It talks about, this is a message about money, but it just highlights the point. Malachi 3 verse 10, the prophet says this, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Test me in this and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that I will not have enough room for it. What the prophet is saying, look, this first bit of your income is mine. You need to give me that. Open your hands up and then you receive everything else. But you first have to give. Take your hands off it and then receive. James talks about wisdom in James chapter 1. And he talks about that we need to put down our unbelief or uncertainty and just trust in God if we're going to receive all that he has for us. He puts it like this. If any of you lack wisdom, he should ask God who gives generously to all without finding fault. That's a promise. God will give wisdom generously to everybody who asks. And this is the thing we have to put down. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt. We need to put down our doubt. Or put even if in there. Even though I'm struggling a bit, God, still I'll put it down and I'll receive everything that you have for me. And it's almost the same in every single promise that God gives us. We have to put something down and open our arms up, our hearts open to him, our souls open to him, so he can pour the promises so that we can begin to live in them. The Bible and history is full of extraordinary things. All of you guys who are going to Hillsong are going to look to the stage, and Pastor Brian Houston's going to walk across that stage. A man who, just over 30 years ago with his wife, and a bunch of about 60 people, I think, said, let's start a church in the Hillsong area of Sydney. And we'll just trust in the promises of God. And he's going to walk across that stage, and all of us are going to have this thought in our minds, there was an extraordinary man of God. All of us. Why? Because he is an extraordinary man of God. As is Bobby, as she comes and speaks as well. They're an extraordinary couple. But all they've done is they said, we're ordinary people. We're just going to trust in the promises of God. Church, I want to be extraordinary. All of us can be extraordinary. And it really is very, very simple. Just live and believe in the promises of God, because God gives all of us the opportunities in our sphere of giftedness and what we're called to be extraordinary people for him. People who have a passion for God, who live in purity by following what God's called them to do. People who live in the power of the Holy Spirit. And then add to that makes the promises of God are destined to become extraordinary people. And a group of people who join together in a church are destined to become an extraordinary church. And guys, I believe that we are called to be an extraordinary church, to do great deeds for God. And not just set up our future, but set up our children's future and our children's children's future. That's what God's called us to do. So let's live in the promises of God and go forward together with one heart and with one sound ringing to heaven. God, even if I am going to trust in you for the rest of my life, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Come on, should we thank Pastor Red for that message? Come on. Awesome. Promises of God. Promises of God. You know, the first promise of God that people trust in as a human being is the promise that God said that He will save them if they trust in Him. You know, there's so many of them, so many verses. John 3:16 says that for God so loved the world, He gave His only Son, so whoever believes in Him will not perish, will not die, but will have everlasting life. And that's a promise of God. And we just want to give an opportunity in a moment for you, because maybe you're in church for the first time. You know, we have visitors and guests every single week here at Valley. People who are asking questions about faith and just wondering. Some people who've coming for months who are just still asking questions about faith. And we love that. And we love that you come. And thanks for making the time. But every single service, we just give the opportunity to respond to that promise of God if you want to. And that opportunity is for you tonight. Maybe you've never made a decision to trust in God and trust in Jesus and what He's done. You can make that decision tonight and say, hey, God, I want to trust in You. I want life here now and I want life eternally. Because Jesus came and He lived a perfect life. He was the Son of God. He lived a perfect life here on earth. He died on a cross taking our sins, all the wrong, the rubbish, the junk from our lives, the things that separate us from God. He took them on the cross. And then 3 days later, He rose again, coming back to life, proving that He'd done it and that He'd defeated sin and taken those things. And all we needed to do is trust in what He did and believe in Jesus. And that's the choice I want to give you right now. So why don't we just close our eyes and bow our head just in this atmosphere of prayer. And is that you tonight? Do you want to make that decision for the first time to trust in Jesus? Trust in His promises for you. Maybe you're far from God tonight. Maybe you once did make a decision at some point, but you know you've gone far away from God and you've rejected Him and you've certainly ignored His promises and everything that the Bible talks about. There's still a way back for you tonight as well. You can respond to the promise of God tonight. And what we're simply going to do, we're all going to pray a prayer together. And this prayer is a simple prayer of faith, saying that you believe in that promise of God, that Jesus died for you so that you can have life. And the whole church is going to pray this prayer. We're going to pray all together. We do this as a family. It's not just going to be you on your own. But I just want you to make that decision now before we pray this prayer. Your heart's beating. You just know you want to make this decision. I just have a real feel that there's a couple, maybe one or two people here tonight. You've been coming to church for months, maybe even for years. But you know you've just completely rejected God's promises. You've been kind of living outwardly as a Christian, but you've never really accepted God and what He's done for you. You can pray this prayer tonight. God will come in your life. You'll make your peace with God. So listen, everybody repeat after me. Let's pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, thank You for dying for me. Thank You for taking my sin. I believe in You. I have new life now. I'm a Christian. Amen. Just as all heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I would love to know if you've prayed that prayer. I would love to know if you prayed that prayer. And because what we're going to do as a church, we're going to give your Bible a gift to help you on your journey as you begin the journey as a Christian. So just as all heads are bowed, eyes are closed, if that is you, I'm going to count down 3, 2, 1. As soon as I hit 1, if that's you, simply raise your hand in the air and then pop it back down again. It's just me looking around. Everybody else has got their heads bowed, eyes closed. 3, 2, 1. Simply raise your hand in the air right now. That's awesome. Thank you. Is anybody else? Is there anybody else? Be afraid to put your hand up. That's great. Come on, should we give a shout of praise for salvation in the house of God tonight, church? Made that decision, and I could just see one person there. Maybe it was more than that who prayed that prayer. I couldn't quite see everybody at the back. It's pretty dark back there. So maybe you raised your hand and you prayed that prayer. We would love to help you on that journey. So we want you to do 3 things. First one is just come back to church next week, or come to Hillsong Conference. Things even better could come in the midweek. But come back to church next week. If this isn't your church, go to your church, wherever you're from, your local church. Keep going there every single week. It'll change your life and help you on your journey. Second thing is start reading the Bible. If you don't have one, like I said, we'd we'd love to give you a gift of a Bible and start reading it every day, and it will change your life. And the third thing is tell someone. Tell the person you came with, tell the friend who sat next to you. Go home and tell the people you live with, your mum, your dad, your friends, your family, your husband, your wife, whoever it is. Tell the people that you've made a decision to follow Christ. You tell them, I'm not 100% sure what decision I made. I'm not sure what it means yet, but I know I've made the right decision for my life. And go and tell someone. Because the Bible speaks about believing in your heart, confessing with your mouth. So we'd encourage you to do that as well. But I'm just so excited for you. You made an incredible decision tonight. Incredible decision. Great. Last couple of things just to mention to you. Pastor Ed and Michelle are on sabbatical. They're around at Hillsong Conference. You'll see them there. If not, it'll be a few weeks. Let's be praying for them, believing the best for them, thinking about taking the church forward and some huge steps there. So we're going to miss them over these next few weeks. Don't forget as well, there's one other thing I need to mention to you. August time is kind of chilling out time, so start hanging out with people, have some parties over summer, get some barbecues, get the pools out, have a great time, get some neighbours and friends around. Church is still going to be going on though. Sundays is game day, it's going to be awesome every single Sunday here. Got some great preachers coming up, Dave Stoner next weekend, and Connect Groups will be happening as well, of course, across the church. Have a fantastic evening, have a great week, we'll see you at conference, we'll see you soon. We're going to have one last song of praise before we go out. Let's give it all we got. Are you ready, team? Yes, let's go for it. Come on.
We've got nothing to lose. We've got no reason to hide. We've got the answer inside of us. It's time we took the disguises off. We see your glory revealed. We see your name lifted high. Cause there is nobody else for us. And Jesus, you are the only one. Come on!